And as you're sitting down, there will also be a concert here tonight under the banner of Rescue and Revive Ministries, you know, the parachurch ministry that we started back in 2018. This is the second one. We actually had one back in October as well, but you're all invited. If you want to come on out 6 to 8, it'll be very simple, sincere. Music, we have a good band coming in. I have a speaker, Randy, if you met him, my big, tall friend. You don't want to miss if you have an opportunity. He is a mighty, mighty man of God in terms of preaching. He is all God when he preaches. And then we'll have some cookies and coffee afterwards. Just keep it simple and sincere. You know, you've heard about this revival going on around the country. I'm not going to be quick to judge it. The funny thing is, I was speaking with a couple of my kids, I think yesterday, and it's amazing because Christians pray for revival, and then when the revival comes, they're like, well, I'm not sure if it's a revival. What do you want? So just be careful. Be careful to what I've noticed in my history of Christendom walking with the Lord is I judge poorly often. If I'm going to be honest, I judge poorly. Time and truth go together. We're told in the Word of God to test things. Don't be so quick to jump and say it is or it's not. And so with that being said, let me segue into Nehemiah, which you can never, and I know Tom can attest to this, you never get more immersed in a book than when you're teaching it. You have to be immersed in the book. And this book of Nehemiah, I have tried to become immersed in. And as I'm going through it, it just more and more comes to you, more is illuminated as you become more immersed in it. And today, in chapter 4, to catch you up, we're in the middle of the building, the middle of the rebuilding of the wall. And again, I know that we're in different times, but it so parallels what's going on here at Spencerport Bible Church. And we can even say what's going on in our country, perhaps, if this revival is indeed a revival that is spreading. And let me just say this. Revival, guess what it includes? As I was watching online some of the places that are having revival, you're going to be blown away by this. Guess what it involves? Worship, prayer, scripture, testimony, all the things that we're going to do today and this evening. That revival just means to enlighten, to bring back to life, to breathe life into, and it can happen anywhere God chooses, anywhere, including here in the town of Spencerport, including here at Spencerport Bible, including here in the city of Rochester and beyond. So with that being said, we're in the middle of the rebuild. About half the wall is done, and things are going to heat up here in chapter 4 for Nehemiah and the people that are part of this rebuild. So with that being said, I'm going to start off by reading verse 10, and Lord willing, we'll go through the rest of the chapter, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. It says, and Judah said, or the leaders of Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish or garbage, so that we are not able to build the wall. As I mentioned, they're in the middle of it. It's a big wall, 40 feet tall. They have about 20 feet done. And verses 10 through 12, as I just read verse 12, they're going to get discouragement. There's going to be difficulty. All the rubbish from the walls that were broken down that has to be removed. It's going to be a death threat, an ambush, and there's going to be distraction. I know last week I used a list of D's. I'll use a list of D's again today. Discouragement, difficulty, there'll then be death threats, and then distraction. All Satan's devices to get you off track from doing God's work. They're halfway through. There's been obstacles. There's been ridicule. There's been discouragement. There's been doubt. And it continues. And we'll pause when we get to the big D, we'll call it, death threats. Why? Because everybody loves their life. And they don't want to lose it. If you need a litmus test for how much you and I and the church at large in the United States of America loves their life, we already had it in the form of COVID-19. And we'll touch on that in a few moments. As a leader, when the people who are serving alongside you start to become discouraged, you feel the weight of that discouragement. However, you as the God-appointed leader cannot carry it. You must give that to God if God's truly called you. And this is what Nehemiah has to do, because Judah, as we know, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They're supposed to be strong. And these men are discouraged, and they're starting to doubt if they can do it, saying the workers are getting tired. There's too much garbage around us that we have to remove. This is too hard. Discouragement. Verse 11, and our adversaries or enemies said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and kill them or slay them and cause the work to cease. Death threat. When the death threat comes, that's when the proverbial rubber meets the road. When your life is threatened, or when people speak of you being injured, that's where you're really, when you really find out what you're made of in terms of who you are in Christ and what He's called you to do. Fear. It's a crippling technique of Satan. It causes you, as you've probably heard, there's the fight or the flight response. Many of us, fear will cause us to just run away. Proverbs chapter 29, 25 says this, the fear of man brings a snare or a trap, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And what we have a tendency to do is be scared of everything except for the thing we're told to fear, and that's God. Scared of COVID, we're scared of this, we're scared of that, we're scared of everything. And what does it do? I want to give you an acronym today for fear. F-E-A-R. Forget everything and remember. Forget everything and remember the Lord when fear comes. Don't be crippled by fear. See, there's a choice that has to be made here by Nehemiah and the workers that are building this wall. Let me change the last letter. This could be fear in a negative way, in a way in which a Christian shouldn't let it hinder us. Forget eternity and run. See, Christians, we forget why we're here, why we're in this race, why we're building the wall. And we let fear just cripple us or make us just run away. And that's not what God has called you or I to do. Now, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. In fact, young lady here thought I was in Savannah, Georgia a couple weeks ago. I wasn't in Savannah. I would have liked to have been in Savannah, Georgia. It's nice and warm down there. I was in Savannah 50 miles away out east. We have had a mass exodus in the Northeast down to places like Savannah, Georgia, and Florida, and Mississippi, and all these nice weather places where there's lots of Christians, and you can put your feet up and everything. And listen, let me just pause and say this. If God sends you there, wow, praise God. I'll be praying for you. I think it's wonderful. But if you're running away because of fear, there's a good chance you're going to end up right back here. And I commended one of my friends. He's a young man. He was a former youth leader at my former church. And he moved down to one of those sweet old states, sweet old Tennessee. Everybody just loves Tennessee. And after 1 year, he realized the grass is not greener on the other side, and he's back here right now. And he has enough courage to say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have went. I gave in to my feelings. You don't go unless God sends you anywhere. I don't care where it is. You name the name of Christ. You go if God sends you. You stay if God doesn't. You stay in the fire. If God says you go through the fire, you go through the fire. If God says flee from the fire, you flee. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. Have we forgotten that? This is who Nehemiah is following. That's why he's not going to flee. All the discouragement, all the threats, the obstacles, the ridicule. This is a man of God who's already been prepared in chapter 1. He's already done the preparation. God's already prepared him. The death threat's there. conspiring was there in the first part of chapter 4 with the Arabians and the Ammonites. And they're all going to conspire. Let's just kill them. Let's wipe them out. Jesus said, fear not him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. God says, fear me. Your time's in my hand. You're at my mercy. Because of my loving kindness that you're here. Yet we're scared of everything else. You know, one of the Bible teachers that I enjoy said this. You know, the church, and this was many years ago when he said it, could use a healthy dose of persecution. And there was a time where somebody did a really cruel experiment, I think. But there was a church, and these men ran in, pretending to hold up the church with guns. And a bunch of the people ran out. They stopped, and they said, the few that remained, he said, good, now I know you're Christians. This is real. This is not a joke. Walking with God, it's the real deal. There's nothing fake about it. And these Jews are going to be very, very challenged right now. Because the most crippling technique of Satan is being used. They're going to come kill you. You're going to be wiped away. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, now the Jews from the outside are coming, listen to this, they say unto us 10 times, I think that's interesting, 10 times is named, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. They're coming. They're going to kill you. It doesn't matter where you go. Come over here. Come over there. Just get you off course. Have you move away. Have you go somewhere you're not supposed to go, a different job you're not supposed to go to, different relationship you're not supposed to be in. Just get you off course. And then Satan gets the victory. The work of God stops. That's what it's like in the Christian life. You got to stay focused. It's a single eye. Focused, a fixed focus. See, the problem is the battle is one that we often cannot tangibly see. So often in the New Testament, Jesus says, fear not, don't fear. Don't fear. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. I mean, quite honestly, if you put me in a room with a bunch of hornets, I'd be really scared. Honestly. It's like my phobia, bees. I don't like bees, okay? When I take off on an airplane, I pray nonstop. I mean, I don't like when that thing takes off. I'm sitting there and I'm praying. I pray the whole time, keep my eyes closed. I never get the window seat. But I trust God. Guess what? If the plane goes down, He's ordained it to go down at that time. I don't want to go out that way, but that's God will have His way. Stop loving your life so much. Whoever loses his life shall find it. Your life's hidden in Christ, the Scripture says. If you're truly converted, your life is hidden in Christ. If you truly know the Christ the Scriptures speak of, your life is hidden in Christ. That would weigh on you as a leader. Someone kept telling you, they're going to come get you. It doesn't matter where you go. They're making a plan to kill you. It's going to be over. It's too hard. The workers are tired. Too much trash. It would weigh on you. In the natural. But Nehemiah, as mentioned, is a man of God who had been prepared by the same God. So here comes the action plan. Starts in verse 13. Therefore, set I in the lower places, or the broken places, behind the wall, and on the other higher places, I even set the people after their families. Families. There's a couple families here today. Stop separating your family in the house of God. Stop doing it. You're giving in to Satan's devices. Stop doing it. This wasn't premeditated, by the way. This is the Holy Spirit. I didn't plan. This isn't in my notes. Can we not be together in unity for 1 hour a week? You know what Martin Luther King said? The most segregated time in America is 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sundays. Now, he meant race. I'm talking about individual. Look, there's kids here. You're not going to believe this. They're sitting quietly right now looking at me. Praise God. I commend you guys. Good job. Have you noticed my six-year-old comes here every week? Have you noticed that? Thank you, Tracy. I got one cheer. What has happened? I'll tell you what has happened. Distraction. All these tactics. Take it away. You got to learn at your own level. No, it makes no sense at all. God never ordained that. I'm telling you right now, I've heard every single pastor, teacher try to justify this biblically, and I'm telling you, it's not right. It's not God's perfect will. Don't make excuses for it. Children ministry is going to start here. People will recognize the hand of God on that ministry if it's supposed to start. It doesn't matter what the ministry is. Is it God or is it man? People of God will recognize it. And Nehemiah is in a position right now where he's going to utilize families to battle together. He's going to give them swords and spears and their bows. They're going to defend their land. And spiritually speaking, we know in the New Testament, Ephesians 6 talks about exactly that thing. Paul the Apostle said, fight the good fight of faith. What is the hill that's worth dying on? There's two families in this picture, in this text, that are going to be fought for. It's the family of God and the family God has given you. Those are the two hills that are worth dying on, none else. Dying on the vaccine hill, the COVID hill, the race hill, the political hill. Get mad at me if you want. I'm going to tell you the truth. Stop dying on those hills that are not worth dying on. Die on Golgotha. Die at Calvary. And then you'll find new life. Amen? We get so distracted so easily. So concerned about us. So selfish. So self-centered. God forgive me. You want to die on a hill? Go to the cross. You want to die on a hill? Lay your life down for your wife. Want to die on a hill? Lay your life down for your children. There's no other hills that are worth dying on in God's economy. Stop dying for your house, your 401k, whatever it is. Stop right now, I'm telling you. It's not worth it. Vince, you may not be happy you came back today. Where are you? It's okay. All right. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, listen to this now, Spencerport. Don't be afraid of them. Remember. Isn't that the theme? Remember and rebuild. Remember. Remember the Lord. Don't be afraid. Remember who's in charge. Who's battling with us? Remember the Lord. Remember who granted you favor with the Persian king to bring you back home when you were in bondage. Remember the Lord. Remember who's brought us to halfway point of building the wall in the midst of all the difficulties. Remember the Lord. He's great and awesome. Great and terrible, King James says. He's great and awesome. Fight. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. That's the heart cry of God. You fight. That doesn't mean you go out and get a gun, a sword, and a ball. That's not what he's... Not now. Now how we fight. Start praying. Put on the shield of faith. That's how you deflect the fiery doubts. That's how you deflect faith. Ridicule, deflected. Mockery, deflected. Death threats, deflected. Put on the helmet of salvation. Guard your mind. What are you putting in your mind? Social media has become, if you allow it to, a weapon of mass confusion. a weapon of mass confusion, and you're allowing it into your home. I have. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, okay? I make mistakes in my home with my kids. Why? Because it's a battle. But I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep fighting. I lose some of the battles. But I'm going to keep fighting because it's worth it. It's worth it. Stop feeding the fear with what you're watching. Stop feeding it. Put on the helmet of salvation. Pray always. Be on the offensive with the sword of the Spirit. Put the gospel of peace on your feet. Start doing something that's eternally purposeful. Belt buckle of truth. Half the stuff on social media, you don't know if it's true. You really don't. You're taking the word of someone else. Verse 15, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. See, God foiled the plan. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow trying to scare you, trying to get you off track, but remember the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, God. Then we return to the wall, verse 15. All of us, everyone to his own work. You all have a work. We know that. You all have a work in the kingdom of God. You're called to something. Reading at the door, serving, hospitality, teaching, preaching, worship, tech team. List doesn't stop. Goes on and on. Marriage ministry. Ministering to youth. Visitation, it never stops. Meals, you're all called to something. We're all called to build the wall, to build the kingdom of God. Get rid of all the rubbish. Get it out and rebuild. And in every church, there's rubbish that needs to be cleared out when a rebuild happens. Verse 16, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. He has a plan. He has a vision. Man's doing what a man of God does. A man of God is always pointing people back to God, pointing up, redirecting from fear to faith, building, equipping, encouraging, inspiring. And you know what happens when the man or woman of God does that? They're like, don't you care about anything else? Yes, I do. The most important thing that the Word of God says, seek first the kingdom. That's what I care about. And I don't do it always well, but that's what I care about. You point the people who are discouraged and frustrated and injured and that are in the battle with you, you point them back to the cross. You redirect them to the same God that is awesome and mighty and that saved them. You point them back because we so quickly forget. And Nehemiah says, remember the Lord. And this year, Spencerport Bible, remember the Lord. Verse 17, building and battling. Isn't that a picture of the kingdom? God is good. He gives seasons of rest. Green pastures at times. He makes you sit down. But verse 17 says, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, or continued building the wall, with those that laid it, everyone with his own hands took part in the work. And with the other hand, they held a weapon. That's a picture of us in this world. You build, you battle. You battle, you build. At the same time, listen to what Jude says. You Jude chapter 1, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Why? Because there was an apostasy of the professing church that continues today. Contend for the faith. You know how sometimes a little bit of a sifting mechanism is when you actually, you're not going to believe this, when you preach the word of God, you know what will happen? Some of those that are apostatizing, they leave, actually. Because the very thing that's needed, they don't want. Why? Because they're apostatizing. The word of God, that's the sword. That's how we battle. We build together the family of God. Different shapes, sizes, skin colors, the family of God. Together. Took the clock off the wall. The one time I look, all right, good thing I got a watch on. Almost done. "For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so they builded." This is verse 18, the second part. "And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." So Nehemiah had a man with a shofar that was going to be given as a sound for a warning. Verse 19, "I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one from another." Verse 20, "In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet or shofar, resort thither unto us. Listen, our God shall fight for us." Two statements. Want to know if a man or woman of God is a godly leader? Remember the Lord. He's awesome. Our God will fight for us. Stay focused. If God is for us, who can be against us? We just don't believe it. That's really the problem. We just don't believe it. Because we lack faith. Why? Fear. Fear. It will cripple you. It'll make you run. You'll get out of the battle. That's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what the enemy of your soul wants. To just quit. Just take it easy. You don't have time for that. It's time to build. It's time to battle. You don't have time to take it easy. Our God shall fight for us. Now listen to this. This amazes me. We're almost done. But the last two verses, listen to what happened. Now, if you hear this, "For our God shall fight for us," it's like, yeah, okay, that's it. We got it. Let's sit back. I mean, the Apostle Paul had a problem going on back in his day where they were waiting for the return of Christ. So like, you know what? Hey, let's take it easy. Let's take it easy. We'll just kind of hang out. We won't work. The Apostle Paul said, they're missing this. Okay, so here's the plan. Go and tell them if they don't work, they're not going to eat. Fix the problem really quickly. Now listen to this. The next verse says this. "Our God shall fight for us." So we labored in the work. How do you know God's fighting for you? When you labor in the work. I got six kids. Excuse? I think so. That could be an excuse. I can't do it. Can't be up here. I don't have enough time. Got a business. Excuse? I think so. What is important to you and I? What is more important than eternity on the line? Nothing. What's more important than a person's soul that's going to go on forever? What's more important than that on this earth that God Himself has told us? Are you going to build bigger barns? And how big do they have to get till you're satisfied? I'm going to give you the answer. You'll never be satisfied. How much money is enough? How much time do you need to do whatever you want to do? How much energy do you need? When are you going to stop being tired? These are questions for us. Us. I have to ask myself these questions. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Here's the first sea trick, first overnight shift. But they didn't have lights like this, all by fire. All by fire, trial by fire, work by fire, building and battling. Till the stars appeared. Verse 22, likewise, at the same time, I said to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge or stay within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and the labor in the day. 24-7, nonstop. From what I understand, that's what's going on in different parts of the country now. That's not a revival. Well, they're staying up all night and they're singing to God and they're reading scripture. That sounds like it's something. Stop being so caught up in your theology and start caring about what God cares about. Theology is the study of God, the person of God. Let me give you this illustration. Listen, please bear with me. I have high esteem for theology, by the way. Okay. Let me give you this illustration. You read a book about Tom. So I'm going to use you, if that's okay. You read a book about Tom, and you're like, this guy, I love this guy. He's this, he's that. Oh, my gosh, I want to meet Tom. I have to. All of a sudden, one day, Tom shows up in the flesh. It's Tom, the one you've been reading about, the one you want to meet. And you look at him, and you say, who are you? You know what you are? A Pharisee. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. He said, lo, in the volume of the book, it's written of me, the person and the presence of Christ. They were so caught up in the letter, they missed it. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because it rained on their parade. It broke all their theological boxes. That's what Jesus did. You don't want to miss out on the person and the presence of Jesus Christ. I know he magnifies his word above his name. I understand. I live. I kiss my Bible. This is my book. Ask my wife. Why don't you read something else? Because this is what it tells me everything. Just read something else. This is my book. I'm not devaluing. I'm saying don't miss the person it's written about or the person that wrote it, the Holy Spirit. See, this is part of the rebuild. This is part of the rebuild. In Nehemiah, here at Spencerport, what God is doing, it appears, around the country. To get back focused on Him. To get back focused on the work of God, building and battling. Last verse. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard, which followed me, none of us put off or took off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. I mean, they were so immersed in this. They were so all in. We got a 24-7 work going on here. Night shift, building, battling, families. Everyone's involved in this. They didn't even have time to wash their clothes. And guess what? Those people that conjured up that plan, they never did come, did they? It was just a shadow of death. It was just a fear tactic to get them off course. Well, let me end with this. Can we get that clock back at some point? What happened, Barry, to that clock? Okay. All right. Well, that's a valid reason. Okay. Let me just challenge you with some questions that I have to be challenged by. And I have to tell you this. I realize today I'm very passionate. It's who I am. It's who I am. Challenge questions, and then I'll end hopefully with a little comfort. Number one, what devices of Satan, your enemies, or your flesh have crippled you? Or caused you to run from God, something God's called you to do. Question number two, is it fear? Is fear the crippling agent that's been used? Number three, are you remembering our God, great and awesome, that He will fight for us in concert collaboration with those truths, will you labor with that God, the one who will fight for us, as you remember how awesome he is? Those are questions to think about. And I spoke a lot about fear today, so I'll end with this verse. And when Jesus is saying this verse, he's saying it to his disciples. Those are people like you and I, people that take the Lord seriously, that are in the Word of God, that are praying. Listen to what he says. You know this. But he was talking to them about anxiety when he says it. Now listen to the love of Jesus and the care of Jesus and the gentleness of Jesus when he says this. Fear not. And I believe with all my heart, this word is for you today that I'm about to read. Fear not, Luke 12:32. Little flock, that's what we are here. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God delights in giving you the kingdom of God. Don't be scared. Don't let fear cripple you. It's your Father's, it's our Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give us the keys to the kingdom, to give us the keys to eternal life, to give us peace that passes understanding, to give us joy and love and peace and all these things that can be obtained no other way. Is it not? Let's pray. I appreciate the opportunity once again and again. If you'd like to come back tonight, you know you're more than welcome to do so. You can hang out for a few minutes today. You know you're more than welcome to do so. We're no rush. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to learn about you, to worship you, Father, to understand, Lord, through your word, as you give us illumination to your holy scriptures, Lord. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in those that have believed on the work of the cross in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, for any that are here today that maybe truly aren't converted, well, there's nothing, as you know, that we can do about that, Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Holy Spirit, God, would you work in that person's heart if they're here today or listening online or watching online? Would you convert that soul, Lord? We would delight in that together. We would rejoice. Father, we thank you for each soul here today, which you divinely sent because of your goodness, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.